Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, na, na, oh, na, 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 I know you've been laying back a long time. Ah, oh, but keep laying a little longer, brother. Yeah, laying back. Oh, brother, 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 brother. I've been watching everything you do, boy, if I had time. And I've been wishing on, wishing on a good time. Just a moment, and it's gonna come, it's gonna come, it's gonna come. You gonna come, brother, 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 brother. I know you.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, and Mr. Smith, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I want to make sure I can hear everybody. Okay. All right, well, I want to start off by saying greetings to my distinguished panel, of course, and, of course, to my listening audience. Tonight we're going to be talking about murder in a small town, and we're speaking on the death of 14-year-old Jason Smith, who was tragically murdered, if I'm not mistaken, in 2010. You know, this case still has not been brought to justice. So we're going to get started. And I just want people to know, you know, this
happened in 2011, June 6th.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, 2011. And I just want people to know, for me personally, this is very emotional. And, of course, you know, I always try to be void of emotion during the show. But in this case, it's a little difficult, especially with the things that I've just now finding out about this case. So we're going to try to hold it together and, you know, get through this and get as much information as we can so we can help the family out. So I'm going to go ahead and get started. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is their reminder in our midst, and I greet our listening audience and my distinguished panel, and I greet you all. As-salamu alaykum. Thank you. Okay, I just want to tell everybody, if you have your computers on or if you're not talking right now, please cut them down or mute your phone because we're getting the feedback and it makes the recording distorted. And we want to be able to hear everybody. I want to start with you, Salida, if you don't mind. I want you to tell us just a little history about Eros, Louisiana, you know, because that's a very small town. Very few people have probably heard of it. You know, what are those demographics like?
Okay, in Eros, Louisiana is a small town between, if I'm not mistaken, Brian also lives here in Louisiana with me. He can kind of help me out. It's between Monroe, Ruston, and Ruston. Am I right, Brian?
Yes,
Okay. And it's a population of, as of the 2011 census, I think it was only 155 people that live there. And the majority of them is white. It's a more majority white town. Now, Mr. Smith used to literally live there before he left. So he kind of knows the demographics about it, too, because he lived there. So
that's
basically, it's just like a little strip of land, in other words.
No, it's like between Chatham and Shugie.
Okay. It's like a big, long road, and it's got houses on both sides. Am I right? Is that basically how it's set up?
With no red lights, right?
Right.
With no red lights.
it's a small little town to where I thought it was a good town, but it turned out to be one of them nightmare towns. Something that can only happen in a dream.
So what about the history of this town? I mean, as far as the crime rate has been. I mean, it's such a small town, but has there been a history of murders like Jason or any other kind of murders or any kind of, you know, racism, you know, anything like that has been recorded in the history of this town?
They had a little crime in that town, you know what I'm saying? You know, but there was an authority, like, you know, they don't do what they're supposed to do with the white folks down there. You know, like, Martin King Jr. stuck his fingers up a little 6-year-old black girl at this bed, and they questioned my son, and my son told him the truth, and the King boy didn't go to jail or nothing. That's what type of town that is.
Okay, and so, Mr. Smith, are you from Louisiana?
No, they thought I was from Louisiana. I'm originally from California. I just took my kids out there for a better life, thinking that it was going to be a better life for them instead of the gang life out here. You know, our people killing each other, goods, all that. I didn't want that for my kids. I wanted them to get educated.
Now, Mr. Bruce, make sure you tell them your mother was from Eros or from that area.
Yeah, my mother used to live in Ruston, brought up in Ruston.
Yeah, Ruston.
She moved up out that town here in California, had us.
Now, to give some demographics.
She was born and raised out there.
To give some demographics of Sister Gidget on Louisiana to help Bruce out a little bit, is that Ruston, Louisiana, is the closest large city to it. And for those folks who are wondering where Ruston is right next door, borders the line of Grambling. What,
Grambling, yes, State Grambling University.
Is. Now, Ruston
is right across the street from Louisiana Tech.
Right. And so if everybody's familiar with Grambling, it's kind of in the north central Louisiana, in between the major cities of Shreveport, Monroe. And this area, though, this parish, we have parishes instead of counties, so when we say parish, same thing. But this parish has been pronged to racial problems, not just in which we live in, but right, we even with the city mayor in Jonesboro, Louisiana, who at this point has got a video on YouTube showing how he was called all kind of niggers and everything right in a public meeting by white folks, and he's been catching it hell since he became mayor with lawsuits people. So it's pronged for racial and within the state.
Yeah, this is a very racial state.
Okay. So, okay, so Mr. Schmidt, if you would, and we're having a little hard time hearing you, so I don't know if you could talk up for me just a little bit. I want you, if you would, if it's not too difficult for you, sir, to just tell us, you know, what type of child was Jason?
Okay, can y'all hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Jason was a fun-loving, interesting child. I mean, I'm not just saying that because he was my kid. No, he was really sweet. You know, he'd get in his little trouble, and I'd work it out of him some kind of way, and he'd go and do what he'd do. I mean, loved his video games. He loved his music. He used to sleep at the foot of my bed just to make sure I was all right. You know, that's how to, you know, cook for yourself, things like that, which I teach all my kids anyway. You know, like that, he just, you know, wanted some cream. You know, I didn't teach him racism. He didn't know nothing about that. You know, he just knew to treat everybody equal, and the devil got to him. That's it. So his friends didn't turn out to be what he expected them to be. Dangerous.
Yes, sir. And so he's not your only child. What child is he? Was he the oldest? Was he the youngest?
He was the youngest.
He was the youngest.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, you know, let's just go ahead and get to the meat of it. Where were you when you found out that this had happened to Jason?
I was in California. I went down here to get Jason some clothes because don't get offended, Louisiana, but y'all just ain't got no gear like that, so I came to get him some clothes like mine, like that. But, you know, I went, you know, I had to go back to my auntie's funeral. Last time I seen my baby was after the funeral, and I hugged and I kissed my baby. hugged him and kissed him again and told him I loved him and I'd be back. As soon as I got to California, I got that call that no parent would want. And I never would have thought that my son would even come to horn like that out there. I thought he was safe. But all the time, he was around a bunch of prisoners, conniving, murdering people that just don't deserve to be here. I think the President of the United States should recognize him as a terrorist organization because that's what they is.
You know, it's horrible.
And it's so hard to get the justice that I seek for my son. If he was white, this would be already done and over with. But since he's black, I guess America is making it so hard. Or, you know, people just don't give a damn that little young innocent black child was murdered, and his father told him he was murdered by the Ku Klux Klan.
So, Lita, you know, I know, Mr. Smith, this still has to be difficult for you. I mean, I know it's been over a year, but, I mean, my heart is just so heavy for you, and I'm so sorry for your loss. And I just can't imagine, you know, how you feel. Brian, if you would, kind of tell us, you know, as far as the case is concerned, the police involvement, what has been going on with that?
Well, Sister Gidget, what you have is a case, like we told you, the area of Louisiana. And in Louisiana, a little bit more people need to know is that it's bad enough, but in small towns, white folks have a heavy hand when it comes to us. What has happened with Mr. Smith on his son's case is that he was told, got a phone call that his son was dead. When it was verified through his relatives, his brother and his son, his other son who was there in town with him, he then was told the authorities not to touch his baby. The authorities then took upon themselves to go ahead and control and take his child and send his child first to a white funeral home. Mm-hmm. And supposedly now, we have not verified this, supposedly the body was shipped off to Arkansas. Through the investigation, Louisiana team investigations, Salida was able to dig out some facts that, according to our records, the body never went to Arkansas. They received it. But then it was shipped back to Louisiana, and then it ended up in the black funeral home. It's all so many things surrounding it doesn't add up. Mr. Smith, being a courageous father that he is, did his own investigation, and it was nothing but a law that led him to do what he did. I can't say I would have done it, but this man, something told him, because we've talked to him numerous times about this, something told him to check his cavity. And when he checked his son's cavity, after the people walked out, he found out his son had nothing inside of him but towels. And then he questioned the people on where's his son in. So they didn't know that's how he came. You only do an autopsy from our investigation when you have a foul play suspected. Miranda rights were read to people. They signed them, but nobody was arrested. You have a Miranda right on one person that was signed, but no witness statement from the person. This thing is so botched up, deliberately botched up in our analysis, to try to cover up the big thing, which we know was murder. Mm-hmm. The body wasn't in the same area as the boat. The water was still. It had no way to be. It was not. It was a pond. It wasn't a big old pond where big boats went. This was a small pond. It was the weather was still. It was secluded. He didn't swim. Bruce could tell you more. His clothes never were retrieved. His backpack never was retrieved. Where he ended up was way away from his house. It's so many things around, but no investigation was done. They didn't even report the body. They were with him when he drowned and never reported. What was it, Salida, 6 hours later?
It was about 4 hours later to the time that they actually called 911, and we do have the recording of the 911 call. When they called, it was approximately four hours later. So he had been in the water for 4 hours.
But they were with him.
They were right. Yes, they were with him. And if somebody would have called when he went down the first time, I believe to this day Jason would have been here. They walked away and went home. What? They went, changed their clothes, and went and sat down and watched TV until the younger boy's mom came home and took him to a birthday party and never even mentioned that there was a young human being in the water. Just walked away. Because the way it's set up, the pond is directly behind these two guys, these two young boys' house. So they can walk out their back door and walk into the water. That's how close the pond is to their house. So they left him laying out there until it got dark, and which that's my assumption that they waited. Because, see, the evidence, any type of evidence wouldn't have been able to be found in the dark.
But let them know, Salida, that there is a brush of trees in a way, so you can't see the pond unless you go back there.
Unless you literally go back there, because it's a whole, it's like a wooded area, sort of. And
yeah, I saw the video.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean,
it's very secluded. Yeah, it's a secluded area. So he was walked back there with them. And this is just me, that they were fighting him, and he was trying to get away from them. And when he was trying to get away from them, he ran wherever he could run because he was probably blocked from the front part of the house. So he ran wherever, whichever direction he could go into, and it wound up back there. I think they was fighting with him and around that pond area because, like I said, the pond is, like, almost directly behind their house. So they were fighting him, and I think he was and tried to get away, and he fell in that water. And when he fell in that
I think he was dead before he hit the water.
Yeah, yes, that's right. You did say that. He thinks he was already dead before. He thinks he was scared, probably put in the water.
But there's been eyewitnesses. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, I did 5 years in law enforcement, and I saw the body.
Uh-huh.
The photos.
Uh-huh.
And he just doesn't look like anybody who had died of a drowning.
Yes, yes.
There was severe bruising and disfigurement to his face.
And the autopsy said he had no bruising.
Yes.
Well, the pictures I saw, he's clearly bruised. There are clearly some swelling, some disfigurement. I mean, you could just tell that's not how he looked naturally.
Exactly.
And I was more concerned when I heard Mr. Smith speak on the video when he said that the organs had been removed. And where are they?
And we don't to this day know where they're at. We to this day do not. No one will not answer that question for us.
Matter of fact, nobody. They won't even talk to Mr. Smith. They push him off like he's a nothing. The state police, the FBI, the sheriff's department, the police department. We've tried to contact so many authorities, and they push it off like it's nothing, with no explanation.
Guy at the White House, they hung up in my face.
Yeah, because I called the line. Yeah. Yeah.
Hugged up in my face when I told him my son was involved in a hate crime.
And it's history. What we have to understand when we say it's history here, it is a deep, deep, dark history of racism here. And I'm saying this because this family, they're called the King family. This family is known for what they do. They don't like black. The mother was, and the reason why it's so politically tied was the grandmother of one of the boys, which is Ronald King Jr., his grandmother was the commission of elections in that area. Not only was she that, she was something else, another political position she held. So that's an automatic door closed in your face automatically because we're talking about the King family. We didn't mention the ideal that when the police got there, Johnny King, who is Ronald King's father, was already in the water when the police got there, and they had this in the report. So you tell me, what are you doing in the water? He claimed he was looking for the body. You have business being nowhere near that, especially if your child is involved in it. You had no right to be in that area. It should have been roped off as a crime scene until the investigation had been done. None of this was done that night. None of this.
Okay,
was done.
So let's just get the logistics because I don't want to lose people. So Jason, what happened? Was he coming home from school? Was he just playing with playmates? What happened that he even ended up in the company of these two boys, and who are these two boys, and what are their age ranges?
Go ahead.
No, you go
ahead, baby. Go ahead. Okay, me, myself, because I'm protecting five over my kids. Messed up on one, but anyway, I am protecting father. Jason leave the house at 5:58 in the morning, and that bus pick him up at 6 o'clock exactly, like that. And you know, from one of the killer's parents or whatever, stated that the bus dropped my son-in-law in front of their house, which, excuse me, that don't supposed to happen like this. That child's supposed to stay on that bus. They're not supposed to get off that bus until they reach their destination school. So this is what, you know, Clayton's seven mother said, stated out of her mouth, you know, and I think somebody just snatched him up because he had road marks on him, things like that. I just couldn't get them pictures because the cell phone just, you know, went out and ran out of bars because I wanted to try to take pictures of everything that was wrong with him, you know, like that. It just broke my heart to see my child laying up there when he could have had a good life. I think it's wrong that, you know, a lot of people is not caring that these white folks are killing our kids and they're going to let it just keep going on and keep going on. I mean, there's a lot of missing black kids in the state of Louisiana.
Bruce, what do you mean
that there's a lot of missing black children in Louisiana?
Yeah, just go in the local Walmart. You see them on the wall.
So when we say a lot of missing black children, by your estimate, about how many and in what time frame?
I say it's about a good 30-40 kids up there. It's pretty big.
And they've been missing for how long?
Each of them got different dates, but I'm quite sure their parents is this time of year wishing if they knew what happened to their kids, is their kids still alive, or what they being used for. whatever, you know what I'm saying? I mean, lose your kid and wish niggas here to open up the Christmas presents and things like this. Bring joy to you to your child's smile like this. You know what I'm saying? I know them parents cry and feel bad this time of year like I do.
Yeah.
Wishing that their child was there. I think it's wrong that a lot of people is not paying attention to it. They can just bust the story open. But it's been going on for a long time.
May I say sister? I'm going to call you sister. Now, the thing is, nobody actually really knows how Jason got, because this is on the other side. This is 4 miles away from his house, where he literally lives at, about five miles away from his house. So the point is, this is where it's blank for us as far as us investigating this, is the idea we don't know how he got over to these kids' house. The two children that are involved, two kids, one of them is named Ronald King Jr. He's 17 at the time. And then there was Clayton Sutton, who was only 13 at the time. Clayton and Jason was in the same probably class or something together. So they probably was kind of hanging out. We don't know how he got over there. We're trying to get that. We had somebody who probably took him over there, but she stopped talking to us. We were able to talk to her a couple of times, and there is a voice message that she got. She would only play one of them for us, and it would have helped us in, you know, going on with the investigation. But we can't even – she's not even talking to us anymore. So what's happening is a lot of people –
Who is she? I'm sorry.
She was a friend of Jason's sister. Yeah, she was a family friend. So we don't – she's not talking to us right now, so we can't get that information. That information is very vital to the timing so that we know – go ahead, Brian.
I was going to say, and if you're hearing all of this that we are bringing out, it's wicked, no-good authorities here in the Arrows – what is that? What parish is that, Lincoln?
I think it's Lincoln Parish.
It's Jackson.
Lincoln and Jackson right by each other. So y'all forgive me, I get them mixed up. But in Jackson Parish, the wicked authorities in that parish don't care to uncover, because they're trying to help hide the heinous crime of murder. The mother of which one was that, Salida? Which one was Bruce? Y'all help me. The mother of they call Bruce. Clayton's mom called Bruce and told Bruce, which just so happened at the time she did it, we all were together, talking, and told him that her son had nothing to do with it, and the other guy did it.
Ronald King.
She said the lady told Bruce that he did it. I heard it for myself.
We
know it was a crime committed, a heinous crime committed, but yet and still, these authorities won't do anything. Another reason we know it was a crime committed, because the sheriff of that ran Bruce out of town without his lights on, trying to run the man off the road in his own car. Bruce was driving. Bruce had to hide out and get out of town for asking too many questions.
Yeah.
And this is stuff like happening in movies. And this.
Let's just back up a little bit because I want to get your story out there, and I want people to understand where we are thus far. So what we have is Jason, you know, he's coming from school, from somehow or another he gets off the bus, he disappears. He ends up in a pond behind the residence of Ronald King Jr., and there's another 13-year-old that is allegedly involved in this case. And So I want to get back to when he was found. Of course, now we know that the crime scene has been contaminated because you said that Ron King Sr. was, of course, in the water looking for the body like he's a police investigative diver or something. We know that's not the case. So let me find out from what was the condition of the body when you found it, because when I looked at the video, Mr. Smith, I think, what wasn't it two autopsies done because the first autopsy was botched?
No. Can I add this before you
no,
go going?
From my understanding, it was just one. And when I went to Paradise Mortuary and seeing my son with all his body organs missing, I asked him, where's his body organs? And they told, they stated, that's the way he came to us.
Well,
that was at the funeral home,
yeah,
when you saw his body and he was cut open and all his organs were missing?
Yeah.
And where did he come from then? At least what they told you, what did they tell you he came from at that point?
Well, first he went to the white folks' mortuary, which is unusual. Why would the white folks have my son when he's supposed to go directly to the black folks? Okay. Then he said he went to Little Rock, Arkansas. From there, where the autopsy report had been done, and it was a private autopsy, and he got the money to pay for no private autopsy. So why would they give him a private autopsy? Okay, then they shipped him to Paradise.
Now, Bruce,
where he didn't have nobody arguing.
Exactly.
Let me add this. Can I add this in, please? It's real important. They took statements, supposedly witness statements, from two guys. First was Ronald King. Ronald King's witness statement only talks about he and Jason being at the pond.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is another mystery that the authorities failed to tell us. Somewhere in there, somebody ratted out Tracy Sutton and told them that Tracy Sutton was also involved. Now, we have no witness statement. This is where the cover-up, one of the cover-ups come in at. And they go to Tracy Sutton, and then Tracy Sutton says that he was told
not
to.
Tracy Sutton, no, that was Tracy Roper.
Roper?
Tracy Roper, yeah.
Okay, he was told not to say anything.
Daughter of the FBI agent.
Right. Now, the thing of it is that, first of all, now he got two conflicting witness statements and no arrest was made. One said it was just him and Jason at the pond. Now when the other guy gets ratted out, he said it was all three of them at the pond. They have two different stories on what happened at the pond, but no arrest is being made.
Nope.
And we have that in writing.
Yeah, we have that in writing. And also, Sister Gidget, I hope we're not confusing everybody. It's like it's so much information that we want to get out there so you guys can see that we're not just making this story up. This really happened, because there's a point where people were saying, oh, this is a hoax. But this is really, truthfully, it happened. We have the paperwork to prove that this happened. Now, we have to understand, Paradise Funeral Home was the black funeral home. That was the last place he went. Southern Funeral Home was the white funeral home where he came from. Now, when we called Arkansas Crime Lab, they said they never had a body of Jason Smith there. Now, the only time they would do a private autopsy is if they suspect foul play. That is the Louisiana law here. If they suspect foul play, they do not have to have permission from any family member to do a private autopsy. So that was the reason why he was supposed to, quote-unquote, go to Arkansas. That's in the report. They sent him to Arkansas because of suspicion of foul play. So when they brought him back, he came back. The last stop was Paradise Funeral Home, which is a black-owned funeral home. His organs were not in there. So the father, as usual, where's my baby's organs? Nobody could tell him where the organs were. Now, I called Paradise Funeral Home And I asked them, just like this, I said, were you the ones who funeralized Jason Smith? He said, yes, but we didn't work on him. So I'm saying to myself, that's not what I asked him. So something already was in place for the cover-up for him to say that to me, and that's not what I asked him. He let me know automatically, hold up, we didn't do anything to his body. So that meant that somebody knows something about what was done to that baby's body prior to him getting to Paradise Funeral Home. So that's why we know it's got to be, and let me say this too. The crime lab in Arkansas, the medical examiner, his name is Frank J. Peretti. Dr. Frank J. Peretti is already under some federal investigation for doing botched autopsy. That's where that comes in at. We're not accusing him. We're just saying that's what we know that's happening with him. So as this is why we keep telling people this story is bigger than us, because if it's true, then the autopsy that he did on Jason, it's non and void. You understand what I'm saying? So that meant that he did not do a legit autopsy on Jason. And the burden of proof is for us to prove that it was not done correctly.
Also, you have on these statements, from the official statements from the authorities, they're not filled out completely, and they're signed off by police officers. And if things on here, you can tell they actually whited them out before they made the copies, trying to protect these folks. Real quickly, this thing I'm looking at says this report that was given said that he tried to. This Clayton Sutton said, I tried to help him to get out, but he got too heavy. We were both underwater, and I lost him, so he headed to the headed to the bank. Then Ronald told me not to tell them because they tried to pin it on us.
So now, that automatically, that's right there.
That was the younger guy. Now the older guy said it was just he and Jason. After 8 at his house at 8 a.m. until 2, then he said they wanted to go swimming, but yet Jason didn't know how to swim. He was scared of water, according to his father. He didn't even.
Never been in no swimming pool ever in his life. He get out the tub in 2 minutes flat and only fill the water up to his ankles. He out that tub in 2 minutes flat. There's no lie to smell him. He just make sure he was clean.
Now, in this report,
he claimed that he was scared of water. He was terrified for some reason.
Okay, and in this report, he claimed that the boat had a hole in it. And he didn't know the boat had a hole in it, and the boat started sinking. Then he claimed that he went back 8 or 9 times to try to save Jason, but he couldn't save him, so he finally went home and called 911. This was now, he talking 4 hours later when the bomb was right behind his house, and he had been home and everything. So these and then you have the Miranda report signed by people that, I'm trying to find a name, they don't even have a statement on. I mean, this whole thing spells cover up big time, and you
that's
have
Stacey Roper they pulled her statement out of there and just left her Miranda rights. Why would they pull this statement?
Now, also, Mr. Smith had a white police officer come to his home with tears in his eyes, turned his radio off, sit down with him, and explain to him what happened today, Bruce. Explain to him.
And he said was crying, telling me how much he cared about my son, everything. He used to bring my son home from football practice and told Jason if he ever needed him, he'd be right there for him, and told me the town is full of rednecks, you know what I'm saying? And he told me about the King Boy, and all the trouble he'd been in with drugs and fighting, breaking in houses, things like that. I mean, you name it, he's done it. And how he'd get away with things. Just went so on and so on until, he left, and he had nothing but good things to say. And he sent me the original report. and he left.
What did he tell you though, Bruce? What was the thing he told you about the case? About what happened?
Well, therefore, he told me not to let it go. Basically, he was just telling me how everything went around over on that side of town and stuff like that. But he left after that.
That police officer abruptly packed up and moved out. And I want to also iterate to your listening audience that these key people that's involved in this, they're no longer living in Eros. If you didn't do anything wrong, why would you pack up and leave? The young boy and his mother is gone. That's Clayton Sutton and Jeannie Sutton. They no longer live in Eros. Ronald King Jr. and his father no longer in Eros. So these people literally left. Okay? What would be the reason you leave your own hometown? And they're from there. They're not just people who come and live and move. They literally are from that area. That's where they live at. They grew up there. And they're now gone. Why would you leave if you didn't do anything wrong?
Wow. Okay, y'all. Wait, let me just break away for a minute. DJ Black Caesar, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Did you get the email?
Yes, ma'am. Email, I got the song ready.
Okay. Okay. I just want to check on that. And I'm going to take some questions from the audience. I see area code 225. I'm making your mic live. Area code 225, you have a question or a comment?
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, yes. I'd like to know, the father said that he left California to bring them to Eros, Louisiana. Being that the education is already low in the area, how was he considering that he was making a better life for his child in a secluded small town that's already behind in country?
Well, I think, you know, when you compare it to the gang life in California, you know, a small town probably did look like heaven compared to L.A. I grew up in L.A., so I know what that life is like for a young child. And probably Louisiana is a more peaceful town, at least on the surface. At least that's what it looks like until you get there. But I'll let him answer the question, Mr. Smith.
Can you hear Bruce?
Yes, I can hear. I thought it was all that, I guess, because my mother was down there. They came out of everything safely. I'm glad they waited three of my kids. I'm a single dad. I didn't expect nothing like this to happen to him.
Exactly.
You know, if I graduated three kids and nothing ever happened to them, I was comfortable with my surroundings, and they was getting their education, you know, and I knew where my kids were. And Jason would have never came out that yard like that. And Cheryl ain't going to walk no 5 miles. If you got kids, you don't know your kids up and down, you know. Some be disobedient, some be obedient, you know what I'm saying? But when you see this with what the words you tell them, they're going to obey it. You know, and I know Jason wouldn't never go over my rules or nothing like that.
Let me ask.
And I'll be straight back. Like you said, you from L.A., I'm from Watts. See what I'm saying? Like that, you know, and you know how it is.
Yes, sir.
You know, you from L.A., you know what I'm saying? If you don't want that type of life for your kids, if you love your kids and you care about their future, you'll try to make it better for them because you wouldn't want them to live the life you had to live.
Exactly. Now, what was you going to say, Brian?
I wanted to add this and also to add on to what Bruce was saying to the caller's question on why would he bring it to an area that is so half standard. Like, like Bruce said, he had already graduated to three children. In the state of Louisiana, we know that the numbers are very low when it comes to this education, but does not mean it's not any kind of educational success. I think myself and Salida are products of the educational system here in Louisiana. Now, this incident that happened all over the different places, including Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Georgia, Alabama, and different things. What we're saying is that what we want is justice done so it won't happen to anyone else. I don't think Bruce did a bad thing by moving his children out of a known area that were pronged to turning out kids in the wrong way. I think his intentions were to be commended of a single father to take his children out of elements which he thought were bad, trying to do nothing but provide a straight and narrow. His other children are productive and doing things. And so I think he'd be commended on the moves that he made, and it definitely was for the betterment, definitely not to hurt his children.
Yeah.
And you know, this can happen anywhere.
Anywhere,
it's not just a small town. The only reason why we're putting emphasis on a small town is because these are the crimes that we don't hear about. We hear about what happens in L.A., in Houston, in Dallas, in San Francisco, San Diego, New York. You know, those things make major news. But when it comes to our children, and especially of them being violated by white people, of course, the media does not give the attention unless it's some Trayvon Martin case or something like that where it gets, you know, blown up all throughout the media. But like Mr. Smith has said, there are many children missing in that town. And when you have a police department or a justice department that is not bringing forth justice, then this type of, you know, situation happens over and over and over again. And when you have people in small towns that are supposed to have so much pull and so much clout, we are oftentimes the victims of that injustice in that system. So it can happen anywhere, small town, big town, valley, don't matter. It happens all the time.
Yes,
so we just bring some attention to this. And I hope we answered your question, Carly.
Another thing is the incident that happened with the young lady that was burned and the car was, I think, I don't know, the head of the graffiti that was put on a car. This happened in the same, Louisiana to come in almost the same day to be able to turn around and do a report saying that this thing never happened. My investigation has been done because I'm also, Talia and I are also journalists. Says that this did not happen the way those state reports come out.
Nope.
This young lady was attacked, but it happened in the same area that this happened to Bruce's son. So we want people to know that these are not little small isolated incidents. They needed to get this thing covered up and make it look good because Louisiana is getting a bigger black eye than what it already has.
Yep. Okay. Yes, that is so true.
Well, what I want to say is, there's a community, you know, yes, this can happen anywhere, but are there other people in the community, such as other people that have missing children and the other blacks in the nearby, in the region, are they supporting, you know, the investigation or speaking out about it, or is it the timing of what's usual, you know, where I want to keep my job, I don't want them to set my house on fire.
It's exactly that. You answered
your own
question.
Yes, they got their claim, man.
Okay, wait a minute. We're having a hard time hearing everybody, and if you're not talking right now, please put your phone on mute because we're getting a lot of interference. Go ahead, Mr. Smith.
That's what you call a slave mind. And they so set in their ways, they scared of master. The master got power. But see, master didn't know he messed with the wrong son. Because I ain't forgotten, man. I don't give up so easy. When you mess with one of my babies, I'm going back to the end. you know, and that's what I'm doing. I'm going after that. I'm exposing them for who they is. And like I said, I want the president to recognize them as a terrorist organization, because anything ain't white. They don't kill. Or try to kill. People don't really push it down. They powerful. But I ain't scared of them.
But see, you know, and to add to what Bruce is saying also is the idea that the young lady kind of answered her question when she made the last statement about people are afraid to talk. They are very much afraid to get involved to the extent to say anything, to speak out on justice. They're not going to just easily do that because they work for these same people. They have to interact with the same people that's part of this. So they're not going to jeopardize their jobs. They're not going to jeopardize their livelihood just because of this, even though they know it happened. A lot of people know this happened, but they're not going to speak up. And that was the whole purpose of us trying to get this to the forefront and get it on the get the media involved. I've talked to Nancy Grace, didn't want to do it. I talked to our local news, didn't want to do it. Bruce even contacted Al Sharpton, didn't want to do it. The story has it's out there. Nobody wanted to talk to him about this story. So this is why we came in, and we're trying to do the best we can. And I want to, first of all, thank you very much for giving him this platform to talk about this, because
Absolutely. We
need as much publicity that he can get so that people can pay attention and know that this is really happening in America, so-called, like Brian calls, United Snakes of America. This is really happening all over the place, small towns, big towns, like you said earlier. This is happening, and there's nobody who wants to fight and help and do what's right. We've got to start doing this. I mean, we have spent hours on this. Bruce has been up on the phone with us 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. We're trying to get this stuff all out here so we can properly get it out to you guys. I hope we're not confusing you guys with all of us talking. But like I said before, it's so much information that's surrounding this story, and it is bigger than just us. It was just fortunate that we got a hold to Bruce, and we talked to him, and we interviewed him on my show. We interviewed him on Brian's show, and people were starting to pay attention to what we were saying.
Yes, ma'am.
So I want to thank you again for giving us this platform to discuss this, and I'm hoping someone is listening that can help us. We had a private investigator that came on board when he heard the story. He came on board without asking for anything, and he has been so much of a help to us. We've got a lawyer that's volunteering right now. We had a medical scientist that's working with us on the background. So all we need is for the public to spread the word. As they spread the word for us, we could get so much help. And that's all we're asking for, is for somebody to continue to tell this story as much as you can remember, or as much as you can say that this is really happening here in America. An hour and a half away from where me and Brian live.
We're going to take a break right now, and we're going to come back because we're going to do a synopsis in the second hour and just piece all this together, because I want to make sure we get accurate information, and then we're going to talk to Mr. Smith more about the condition of Jason's body. Right now, I want to kind of lighten the atmosphere a little bit. As you know, I love our young people, and you know, we always want to give them an opportunity and encourage them to shine and display their talents. And I think he's on the phone. I'm going to bring in Brother Edmund X, who has a new song. I love positive hip-hop, minus the raunchiness, minus the disrespect. And I love this particular song. I'm going to see if this is Brother Edmund. I hope so. Brother Edmund, are you here?
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, ma'am. And yourself?
I'm fine. And I wanted to talk to you about the song that you made, 1 in 10 million. And I know you said someone else was coming with you. And what's his name, Brother Dominic?
Yeah, he should be online also.
Is he the 773 number?
Should be a 336 number.
336. Okay, I'm going to bring Brother Dominic in, too. Brother Dominic, are you there?
As-salamu alaykum, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Wa alaykum salam, sir. Okay, so real quick, I want Evelyn to first tell us about this song. And Evelyn, tell us what inspired you to write this song.
Basically, the song is called 1 in 10 Million. And the inspiration is in the song is basically unity, coming together, stopping all the foolishness, ignorance, and also wanting to put out better music for the youth to hear on a different vibe versus what you are accustomed to hearing on the airwaves. That's kind of the gist of the song. We, you know, saying everybody coming together, uniting.
Okay, and Dominic, I heard you had a verse that you rap on this song as well. So what was your inspiration for doing the song?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay, yes, ma'am. I was in the mind state of tapping into the fire of black people to get up and do something, and also the Millions More movement and all the lectures that Minister Farrakhan was making all across the nation. And that's basically the mindset I was in, writing my verse for the song 1 in 10 Million, and just to put out some good music.
Yes, sir. Okay, so DJ Black Teaser, we're going to debut 1 in 10 Million by Brother Edmund X and Brother Dominic. You have the song ready?
To be 1 in 10 million to see the bigger picture. Different races and the poor and richer. To fulfill the scripture, cause that the king had a dream and vision. We lost ambition in the devil's system, trapped as another victim. Malcolm brought a lot of wisdom, then they turned around and killed him. Then Farrakhan ascended to carry on the mission, to get the people out of sick condition. But these politicians give a lot of friction, calling all the contradictions. He's the last that can save the system. They call division, he turned and called a million. Two showed up to listen, get respect from the bros in prison. White people, even Jews and Christians, when he speaks he's so tremendous. Saving lives is his job description. The work of Jesus is his whole intention. Why you cowards want to crucifix him? Cause he only trying to make a difference. Only trying to make a difference.
Come on, let's all get on the bus and change the way we living. You want to make a difference and be one of the
hey,
million.
Bruce.
1 in 10 million.
Hey, I'ma hang up and Brian's gonna call
million.
You
back. Come on, let's all get on the bus
okay,
and change the way we living. You want
to
make a difference and be one of the million.
Okay.
1 in 10 million. I'm proud to be 1 in 10 million.
I'm trying to see separation, damn integration. Got me yelling out, we want reparation. Come to get more land, farms, vegetation. In the struggle, lending my hands on dedication. Blood, sweat, and tears, building this damn country. 400 years, still getting the justice. Worst treatment ever, dealing with the pain and suffering. Man, stand against it, now you wanna come and touch. Hands off, Farrakhan, that's what the people say. You wanna for yourself, cause you wanna keep the slaves. Back then, but it's a different vision I see today. Never being equal, me and my people, we seen the spray. And for the teeth that give us no good education, leading those blind, deaf, and dumb until the arm of Satan. Religion is made up, leave us falling, strip us naked. Acting too many times, but still you give us Nathan. Oh, hell, well, I guess we gotta come and take it. Millions more movement, get on the bus, be sure to make it. Oh, hell, well, I guess we gotta come and take it. Millions more movement, get on the bus, be sure to make it.
Come on, let's all get on the bus and change the way we living. You wanna make a difference, then be 1 of the million. 1 in 10 million, 1 in 10 million. I'm proud to be 1 in 10 million. Come on, let's all get on the bus and change the way we living. You wanna make a difference, then be 1 of the million. 1 in 10 million, 1 in 10 million. I'm proud to be 1 in 10 million.
Praise be to Allah,
yeah.
Praise to the God, we raised one for the children, one for the building, later days we make new, all it takes 1 in 10 million to break through, one for the king, Malcolm and Farrakhan, when you hit a final call, outcome a marathon, one for the Jesus and one thesis, hard work, we pray that he make it in one piece, one for my blood victims, one for my thugs in the system, one for my bloods and my grips, one for my sisters, One for my peace and one for the deceased, cause we really miss them. One for the MCT, one for the FOI, one for forever, cause one thing we never die. One for dedication, one for motivation, one cause we only need one thing, reparation.
Come on, let's all get on the bus and change the way we live. You wanna make a difference, then be one of the million.
1 in 10 million, 1 in 10 million, I'm proud to be 1 in 10 million.
Come on, let's all get on the bus and change the way we live. You wanna make a difference, then be one of the million.
1 in 10 million, 1 in 10 million, I'm proud to be 1 in 10 million.
All right. I love that song. I love that beat. Brother Edmund, Brother Dominique, thank you all so much. I am so proud of you, and I'm so proud of the work that you all are doing. And I hope to hear more of that in January when we launch Young, Gifted, and Black. And is there anything you want to say before you go?
I appreciate the opportunity, and I pray that everybody enjoyed it. And listen out soon. I appreciate that.
Okay. And Brother Dominic?
Yes, ma'am. Also, as well, I appreciate it for you playing it so everybody can hear it. And also, my condolences goes out to the family of Jason Smith. And also, if you want to hear any more good music from me, you can log on to my Twitter at Manchild, capital letters NC, Manchild NC. Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. And Edmund, how can we get in touch with you? How can we hear some more of your music?
Just come to my page. I'm Edmund MacMiller on Facebook. Real easy to find me, and then you can go from there. That's Edmund MacMiller, and my condolences also go out to the brother who lost his son and the family. Absolutely. That's why we got to spread better music and unite, come together as one. So
absolutely.
I pray that everything goes
absolutely
well.
That's right.
Thank you so much. Thank you, gentlemen. And I am so proud of you. And I'm looking forward to more of that next month. So, hey, I'm ready.
Yes, ma'am.
Keep putting
thank
it
you
out there, brother. Keep putting it out there.
Salam,
yes,
man.
Sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
I like them. All right.
Okay. All right. Did we lose Talita?
She had to leave, but she had a prior engagement, so we're going to carry on.
Okay. Is Mr. Smith still with us?
He's still with
yeah.
me. He's with me.
Okay. Okay. So now, wow. Okay. So this was June 6, 2011, correct, Mr. Smith?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Hello?
Sir?
How are you?
Okay. So let me ask you, the first time you saw Jason was when? Was it at the Paradise Funeral Home? Was that the first time you saw him?
That was the first time I seen him.
So when I know you said that you took pictures of his body, and I know it might be difficult for you, but I want people to understand what was actually going on, what you found, because from what I understand, initially they told you that the cause of death was drowning.
Yeah,
and
you
of
know
course
they came
you,
at me. So go ahead.
No, I'm just saying you said you knew your son, you knew that he had a fear of water, so there was no way that he would actually just go in the water. So that was automatically a red flag for you. So I want you to tell us, if you can, step by step, when you first saw him, you know, I saw the pictures, you know, minus the body cavity, but I saw the pictures, but I want to know just detail by detail everything that you saw.
Well, I walked into the funeral home, and they pulled my son out, his body cut wide open with nothing whatsoever in it. I went on and proceeded to look at his body, seeing fingernail marks in his arm, like rope marks around his ankle and arm, wrist, his eye socket crushed in, scratches on his nose, a taser mark on the side of his face, and I noticed the mark on the side of his jaw in the video, when you take a video camera, it show up things that you can't see too. And when I seen the mark on the side of his face, it looked like somebody hit him with a stick or a billy club. They took his brain. Why would they cut his skull if it was an accident? You already know. Why would you even go just disrespect my word as a parent when I tell you not to touch him? I didn't claim his body. I'm the parent. It's Louisiana law. If they suspect foul play, what they did is took all evidence out of him, and they ain't going to call it an accident. That's why I'm trying to get his body exhumed, and I need the help of everybody that's black out there or everybody that's not racist to help me get my son's body up out that ground to prove that these people is liars, because I know he still got the towels up in him. And they ain't going to find out no kind of nothing. Nothing in a bag or nothing. They ain't going to find nothing. That's why I'm trying to get him exhumed. That's why it's important. You can just bury a lie for so long, then it come on up to the light. And I'm going to bring my son up to the light and let the world see what's happening with our kids. This is ridiculous. We need to start paying attention to our babies. When they tell you something, please listen.
Yes, sir. So, Brian.
Yes, ma'am.
Initially from the beginning, when, you know, when the death was reported and the police arrived on the scene, which, of course, we already know was contaminated. You know, I know you said that there was some Miranda affidavits that were signed, but evidently they are not just, you know, taking statements. They had to have some idea that foul play was involved. So at the end of it all, what did the police report finally say, and what did the final autopsy report finally say? You know, have they declared his death an accident? Are they saying that, you know, undetermined? Are they saying it's murder? What are the officials saying in Louisiana?
The official report is basically saying that it was a drowning, an accident. Now know this, they confiscated the boat. They took the boat to Monroe, Louisiana. It's under lock and key. Right now it's under lock and key. But this was an accident. Now, I've never known a boat to be taken and confiscated and put under lock and key from an accident. To me, it's just more and more reason that a cover-up. It's basically saying that during this exam, and in this examination, I'm looking at it now, it says internal examination, all body organs were present in normal atomic position and were diffusely congested. So it's saying the body organs were here and it was congested. It talks about how it had no facial lesions were noted. But we see clearly in the picture that there were facial lesions. This is how so, you know, grossly of a cover-up this was, we see basically on the pictures that they didn't expect the father to take pictures, that there were abrasions, there were bruises on his body. His body does not resemble, we had a pathologist look at, a certified state pathologist look at this too, and this does not correspond with a body that has been drowned from the photos that they're looking at. But yet here you have this pathologist they have that was actually contracted. He didn't work for the state of Louisiana. They contracted, I mean, they hired him to do this, and he basically, to me, it was put in the report what they wanted put in the report to cover up for what was wrong. And this report that they have, when you read your Miranda rights, you read that before you've been arrested.
Exactly.
Right, and nobody was arrested, but one thing about it, I didn't think what it said, that this information was flipped to Bruce Smith, the father, by the police officer, we wasn't supposed to get the information that we got. But this other report was taken out, we believe, because it's got the Miranda right. We don't think they were supposed to have that one in there, but they slipped and left one of the Miranda rights in there, but there's no report accompanying the Miranda rights. So, and all through where you have the place is a blank, where they were at, asking where they lived at, it's all blanks on here, but it's signed off by the officer, which is a gross negligence, according to the authorities we talked to. This is not a completed report, but this is what's in their file. And one other thing is that these things were not signed by the proper people. You had a father signing for his son. That's illegal.
You had one that was too young to be questioned. And his mother wasn't even present, and they read him with random rights and made him sign them. And you saw they have a parent present. Here you go, right on King, he an adult. His parent was present, and both of them signed.
Yeah, so what we have here is a big-time cover-up to some people that were connected. They didn't want anything to come out, especially going down for the death of a black person. And he was a well-known white person in his area. It's a statement from Sutton stated that once they was in the pond, that the boat capsized, putting all three people in the water. Now, they called in wildlife and fisheries. These are the people that sort of handle your hunting and fishing and things like that. And the wildlife and fisheries, these people say that they approximately got out there at 10 o'clock at night. And when did the death supposed to take place, Bruce?
Earlier that day, 1-something, he called a friend of the family at 10:45. So from 10:45
now
to that time, that's when all this torturing and crap was going on.
Okay, I highlighted some stuff, and the narrative official statement from the Sheriff's Department says that it says conflicting statements from survivors. Both King and Sutton walked to King's residence, where Sutton changed clothes, and the two began watching TV. At this point, neither had told anybody about the drowning, nor had they contacted the Jackson Parish Sheriff's Department office. At approximately 6 p.m., Jeannie Sutton, that's the young Sutton's mother, of Clayton Sutton, arrived and told King that he needed to go home. Another thing, part is that Clayton still did not say anything about the drowning to his mother. At approximately 6:54 p.m., a 911 call was received at the Jackson Parish Sheriff's Office from Johnny King, resident concerning the possible drowning. Deputies and volunteer firemen arrived at the pond, and the agent Joe, I think it's Goodry, was contacted by the Sheriff's Department, Sergeant Dwayne Taylor, about the drowning. Lieutenant Rick Owen, Sergeant Thomas Reiser, Agent Joe Goodry and Scott Bullitt, and I responded to the ground. So there were all kind of authorities around there. And these people know that this what was done. The body of Smith was sent to Little Rock, Arkansas for an autopsy. I seized the boat and transported it to Region 2 office in Monroe. You wouldn't seize anything if you thought it was just an accident. You wouldn't send the body off for an autopsy unless you thought it was foul play. This thing was done, and it was covered up, and Arkansas, according to our records, say they never received Jason Smith's body.
And why would they send it to Arkansas when you have New Orleans, you have Shreveport, you have Baton Rouge? Why Arkansas? Is it because of the connection with the Dr. Peretti?
Peretti is out of Arkansas, and the our sources tell us that the specialist in Louisiana that does what do they refer to that as children autopsies, adolescent autopsies, is out of Baton Rouge, but they still had this autopsy supposedly sent to Arkansas. Peretti is in talking with another attorney who has been in court with Peretti, has cross-examined Peretti. Peretti, unless you have hardcore in, it's hard to stick him. He's been there with him. He's no new kid on the block. He knows what he's doing when it comes to things like this. So this guy, he's been contracted out by these folks. And basically, to keep that money coming in, if you contract me out, I'm going to do what you tell me to do.
All day.
You paying me that money. I'm not going to jeopardize losing a contract over some little black kid. That's the way I see it. And so
you have a sheriff's department. Is that the key law enforcement in Eros? Is it just the sheriff's department, or do they have a sheriff or police department, or what is the law enforcement like in Eros? Is it just that one?
It's the sheriff's department, right, Bruce?
It's the sheriff's department.
Yeah.
They got one deputy.
They don't have a local police. They have, because it's too small, they have a sheriff's department.
Yeah.
Okay, so what about the governor of Louisiana? Has anyone contacted the governor or anybody to try to get to the bottom of this?
We've contacted the state police. We've contacted the FBI. We haven't contacted the governor's office, but in the state police turned it down. What was their exact words, Bruce? They were going to check into it. They're real interested.
They said if it was a hate crime, I got to report it to Washington, D.C., the White House, talk to FBI out there. When I called down there, they ended up in my face.
And Salida also backtracked and did the same thing, and she got the same response. So it's all the thing that these people are going to understand is taking them to court. That's all. That's all.
I was like, do the president know who he got working for him?
Well, of course he doesn't.
You know, you just don't hang up in nobody's face.
So was anyone ever arrested, even under suspicion, or just called in for questioning, anything like that, or they just took statements and walked away?
Took statements and basically, they may have had them come down there. I don't know where they took statements at, but they basically took statements and let them walk. And one of the kids was even wearing a trophy, wearing Jason's shoes in town.
Oh, yeah.
And those are some of the items that he had that you never got back. They never retrieved his personal belongings.
Right. And the reason we know they were Jason's shoes is,
remember Mr. Smith Bruce said earlier that he had gone to California to accompany his mother back after a funeral, and he's going to buy some clothes for his kids. Well, he knew a lot of the cool clothes and stuff California had, Louisiana didn't have. So he would buy those, and his kids he'd have those type of clothes. Well, these particular shoes, he know his kid had, but it's end up, this white boy end up wearing the same shoes that we know wasn't here in Louisiana. Tennis shoes.
And this happened to be the FBI's son, Bruce?
No, Ronnie King.
That's his son. He's FBI, right?
No, Ronnie King Jr.
Okay, it was Ronnie King. Okay. Okay. Because now it is a connection with the FBI on this thing. Well, give us the connection on that, Bruce.
Father, Percy Roper's father, relative, or something like that. At first, I thought Stacy Roper was a boy, but the leading man found out that it was a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong woman.
And how is she connected with the FBI?
Because Mr. John Roper came to my house. Acting like he was investigating, but he was just getting information. Like that. Let's see how much we knew.
Did he show his badge to you?
No, you know, he came in his little suit. Did who they was, because I've seen them before. They was the same two that questioned Jason about the little girl on the bus.
Not only that, Mr. Smith has been questioned by different people in the area on what routes he may take to leave town, which was out of the ordinary. Mr. Smith had to abruptly leave his home.
And I want to talk about that, Brian. I want Mr. Smith, because I heard it in the YouTube video. What happened? I mean, what was that altercation like, and how long after Jason's death did you get really literally chased by the sheriff's department out of town?
It was about something like a week and a half later, something like that, because I moved out. Didn't want to be there 2 minutes away from my son being buried, 5 minutes in the car away from his killers. So we packed up everything, got on, and then the last little run we made, little shortcut I take to the sheriff court, so I went around him. We couldn't through the woods. He behind me, then his old food truck come out like that, get on the side, so I punch it harder. Made it to the next town where I knew this other cop be at. They buried out me and turned around. Right there. But they was trying to kill me.
Now, did he ever put his lights on, flashing lights to stop you?
No lights, no nothing.
But he was in a marked deputy's car.
Yep. No letters.
And he was chasing you.
Yep.
And how fast were you pushing your car?
Wow.
To the limit, I know that road real good.
So, I mean, when you say limit, how fast were you pushing it to the limit?
To everything it had. I mean, I'm going something like probably 70, 75.
So, and this is on the 2-lane highway, so I just reason
like,
I asked for those numbers.
I make my turns, I slow down a little bit, then I speed up on the straightaway like fast as I can.
Right. And the reason I asked for those numbers, I wanted people to see on a narrow 2-lane highway how fast he was having to run and get away from them, because they were on him. And he finally got in. What happened, he got into another parish, which was out of their jurisdiction.
But at one time before you left, Mr. Smith, were you not threatened that they would kill you or kill you and your other son?
Oh, yeah. I was threatened.
Some dude with
Confederate flag on his arm. He pulled his gun out on it. And I talked to the police. Police shook his hand and let him go, talk about taking me and my son to jail. And he had the gun right there in the front seat. And I told him, so what you saying, from now on, my brother needs to be strapped. That's what you're telling me. You let him hold on to his gun. He pulled the gun on me and my son.
And were you armed at any time during this altercation?
Nope. I wish I was, though.
Oh, no. Yes, sir. And so what about the, Brian, what about the Justice Department? I mean, at some point, with all of this, you know, with all of this being so confusing and nothing being documented in a concrete manner and no justifiable report that can, you know, validate anything that has been alleged, like alleged drowning, and with all of the evidence, of course, going against that. What about the Justice Department? Has anyone spoken with the U.S. Justice Department about this case?
Right now, we have made attempts to contact the Justice Department. It hasn't been successful yet. We do have a petition. And I was trying to pull it up as I'm talking with you, asking Eric Holder to look at this case. I think I'm pulling it up. I thought I had it. And this is basically where we was another petition. It was pulled, and we're doing another one, asking him to look at this case and to investigate it, this case as a hate crime, a murder, whatever they want to call it. We want to bring justice to it. I'm trying to scroll down so I could give the site where you can go find it, because I know it's being posted on Facebook.
On Facebook, if you are interested in signing the petition or helping Mr. Smith bring this case to justice at all, please send a request to join Murder in Eros. That's the page on Facebook. And send a request, and I'm pretty sure Sister Salita will welcome you with open arms. There is a link to the petition there. The page is called Murder in Eros. E-R-O-S. And it's on Facebook.
Video, and it'll be at the at the top of the page. They can join it, and any one of us can definitely put them in the group. But it's United States Department of Justice Attorney General Eric Holder. We asked him to reopen the case of the drowning of black teen Jason Smith in Eros, Louisiana. This is the petition, and it has on it where you can invite your friends, or you can go up and copy the site and post it in different places, but we need as many people to sign it as possible. You know, it's going to come a time where we're going to need to come together as a community to help Mr. Smith financially. We hadn't gotten to that point yet, but it happened here in Louisiana. He's going to have to be traveling from California to Louisiana once this ball really gets going. They're already trying to find out his travel agendas, and they're trying to check him out. We're here in Louisiana. I'm less than 2 hours from Eros. I let them know we will be coming to Eros. I will be going to Eros. I'm no stranger to it. I used to go to it all the time. So we'll be going up to Eros and looking at the site, because I'm very close to it. But we definitely need everyone right now to sign that petition, post the petition, put it everywhere you can. If you send it on Twitter, Facebook, email it, whatever you can do, because ever since the petition been out, their ants have been scrambling. We've been getting phone calls from these people in Eros, telling us, well, please take me off. I had nothing to do with it. The mother of the other person called, said the other boy killed him. People they're scrambling, but they don't want to. They don't want it being told, because they know the truth is coming out on them.
Okay, Mr. Smith, you were trying to say something?
No, I was just saying, you know, like, people don't realize what these white folks is doing, and, you know, I just want to know, is it justice for all, or is it just justice for y'all? Because the only thing I'm asking for Christmas is justice for my son, and to heal my other kids, because they hurt by this very bad.
And you know, I'm still curious about something you said, Mr. Smith, and maybe Brian can elaborate a little more, because Mr. Smith said that there were a lot of black children missing, and I didn't quite get the answer when I asked what was the time frame. I mean, are they missing like from 1980 up until now, or is this something that's happened like just in the last 10 years, the last 5 years? Are you aware of the time frame at all?
You can go, Brad.
No, I think what Ms. Smith is saying, Sister Gidget, is that from what I'm understanding, because I don't have that information, I think in the local Walmart there's a lot of missing black children, I think, posted on the bulletin board. Is that right?
Yeah.
Bruce?
Yeah.
And that he was saying that, is a lot of children going missing. Now, I don't know. I haven't seen it. It would be, he would have to tell it, but I
haven't seen it. But there was in the time frame and all that.
All those from the Arrows area? I'm not sure.
I didn't pay no attention. They got Eros ain't got no Walmart. You have to go to Ruston.
Okay.
See it. You know it's in the Ruston Walmart. All black kids. You probably see 2-3 white kids, but all black kids. And it's a whole lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Where is these kids? I was just lucky enough to get mine.
It's just almost like it's a possibility that this is not new. This may have been going on for a
long
period
time.
Of time.
Yeah.
And so they're just not finding these children. They're just missing. And
no, they know where they at. Trust me, they know where they at.
Well, I'm not talking about the law enforcement. I'm talking about the parents.
So the parents, they praying for their babies back. I wouldn't care if it was the baby remains, it would give them ease. That's why Louisiana need to start fighting back and start changing these little old crazy stupid laws that they, who is them to pass some stupid laws like this?
Right.
It's still slavery to me.
Can I add this too, Sister Gidget? We're asking the listening audience if they please also would help us get out. We have a Facebook page, and we have a Facebook group called Murder and Arrows that we want them to join. But we also have a Facebook page. It's called Stop Cover Up of Jason Smith Murder. And it has some information on it, and it talks about the demographics. It talks about the white-black ratio, Native American, where it's in North Louisiana, and what the census report is showing. And if they would, we're going to have that page up also on the group, and if they would hit like on that page, it would really help us, and also it would allow us to allow to pass that on. That would be great.
And so, Mr. Smith, you talk about the exhumation of Jason's body. What is the cost to have his body exhumed and re-examined by a medical examiner of your choosing?
I really wouldn't know what was the cost, because this is the first time I ever went through something like this. Like, I lost other children, but justice has been served for them. And this racism thing, come on.
I never had to
get one of my kids exhumed because, like, the police in California, when they do their job, they do their job. They ain't prejudiced against their job, I don't care if you're black, white, Chinese, whatever, you done it. You're going to jail, period. They take that serious.
They took
my son like a piece of meat and chopped him up like he was a nobody.
We haven't actually got into the analyze the cost that's going to be involved, because right now we're in the process of trying to get legal counsel. And we'll probably, that one lined up, and right now that's process. We're in the process of trying to do that right now. And we're thinking that'll come out, you know, once we obtain legal counsel.
Right. And, you know, we don't want this case to be like, you know, Emmett Till and, you know, so many others, you know, 40, 50 years down the line, you know, somebody starts to really give a damn. You know, I mean, this is ridiculous. And this is 2012, and, you know, we, you know, supposedly have arrived, and, you know, this just wakes us up once again to let us know that no matter how much we achieve, you know, we are always going to be second-class citizens or less than human to some of these people. And, you know, our unity is our power, and we just really have to come together as a people, and so that things like this cannot be done, and they cannot feel as though we're going to sweep things like this up under the rug and just let it pass by, and it's all right. And we're not waiting 20, 30, 40, 50 years for justice. This is crazy. This is insane.
Uh-huh.
And I just don't get it. I don't understand how the police department is ran, and I just don't believe that, you know, other officials, you know, your governor, your mayor of any of the other surrounding major cities are not, you know, stepping up to the plate and calling for that particular police department to do due diligence to this family. That is crazy, Brother Brian. I don't get that.
Sister Gidget,
and I understand
the mayor
being a small town, but what about the other parishes around? You know, you have Grambling State University right there. You know, like I say, you have Shreveport, you have Baton Rouge, you have New Orleans, you have other law enforcement officials that can really call some people on the carpet, regardless of how much cost that they have, because they have bigger cities. And I'm just wondering, has anyone reached out to any of the other major city law enforcement to say, hey, can somebody take a look at this and maybe they can pull the coattails of someone else?
Let me
the state police told me to call Washington, D.C.
Then let me explain something to you, the way that it works here in Louisiana. The mayor of Jonesboro, which is right in the same area, has a balanced budget. He has a when he went into office, all the white people said, we quit. He's been threatened his life. It's been said, we just need to shoot the nigga in the head. The sheriff has done nothing. He has been catching hell. He actually had the person that witnessed the person threatening the mayor's life, the sheriff threatened to put him in jail. And the sheriff is your chief law enforcement officer of the parish. Nobody comes over the sheriff. Another sheriff from another parish has no jurisdiction over that sheriff. Just like a judge in the courtroom, he's the man. Only one that can come over him is the state police, and the state police has refused to do anything outside of a federal investigation or lawsuit. Nobody's going to step in unless the pressure is put on by the people. They're not going to come from another city or another parish and try to apply pressure. These people are also politically connected, and to be politically connected, they have friends in high places that's down in Baton Rouge. That's the way they try to play the games here in these smaller towns when they figure to mess with people that don't know anybody. You know, we have for example, we have a show here, and we put them on the spotlight every week. But sometimes when they think that you know, and you know folks, they don't like you, as long as you do is walk the straight and narrow, and they don't too much bother you. But in smaller towns, the media is no media there to get any outlets out. We don't control anything. We're at their mercy when it comes to jobs, when it comes to our family trying to make it. And so basically they take that and they slap us across the head with it, and almost like we're nobody. So we have to take them almost – we have to take their games. When I say games, I'm thinking of their court procedures and things, and that's how we're going to have to beat them. we got to take their own rules and slap them upside the head with, because they're taking the control that they have of law enforcement and they're beating them upside the head. Right in Winfield, Louisiana, which is right between Arrows and Alexandria, we have a young black male that was killed by the police, tased to death. The officer was found innocent. Right in Alexandria, Louisiana, we have another man that was shot and killed by the police and also was found innocent. He was didn't identify himself and was off duty in plain clothes. Right in Pineville, Louisiana, and right where I live, there was a person called in. He was mentally disturbed. They called in and told me he was missing, and he charged off. They knew he was missing, had mentally disturbed, but they come home, they shot him. We have so many of these things that happen, but they're small, isolated incidents, and we don't get enough people to stand up and raise enough awareness to it. We're trying. It's a small amount of us is trying. Right now, we're trying to even come in, myself now, and trying to raise a study group with the Nation of Islam right here in Alexandria, Louisiana, again, because we have to get something going in this area to stop the corruption, the wrongdoing that's being done to our people.
And so, is the murder rate elevated there?
It's not really elevated here. It's just you have different things that may happen from time to time. It's not like you have something that happens every year. It's not even an every year thing. But when something does happen, they try to justify it. We had right here in Alexandria, we had a young man. I interviewed and did a story with the grandmother. He had a medical condition. He used to have seizures. His grandmother called ambulance because he went into a seizure. The ambulance said they didn't deal with seizures because they said he had been at a mental hospital. So they called the police department. Well, the police department came, and the grandmother said she watched him punch her grandson in the face, in the bed, and said the sheets were full of blood. And they promised her they would take him to the hospital, and when they found out, they took him to jail, and that young man died in jail. And the grandmother called them for what they were, and it's delayed. I think she died earlier in grief because of this grandchild lived with her. He's a grown man, but he stayed with his grandmother. And she told me out of her own mouth, she said, those devils killed my baby. She said they promised they were going to take him to the hospital. He needed medical attention, but they took him to jail. And he hadn't done anything. He had only had a seizure. When they handle our people in these areas, they handle them like the cattle. And that's what they think of us. And the case with Jason is that nobody gave a damn. That's what the bottom line. They're only worried about helping and covering up their own. Because of those conflicting statements, somebody should have been arrested right then and made somebody talk. But we're not worried about that. That was not their main concern. Their only concern was to mark it up as a drowning, cover it up, and get it knocked out. And they didn't expect his father, Bruce Smith, to go as far as he's gone so far. And they didn't want
it. Go ahead.
And then they didn't want it to go any farther. We know they've made attempts to contact him. They want him to be quiet. They've called. We know that they're worried because they're contacting them, telling them people saying that we had nothing to do with it. The other person is pointing the finger at the other person. People are disappearing. But yet and still, he's contacted the sheriff's department again. He asked the funeral home for a, what was that paper you asked for, Bruce?
Transcript transport.
This was told to us by one of our team member investigators. He called and asked the funeral home for that. They have to have this to transport the body, correct?
Mm-hmm.
He was sent a finalized bill on the funeral. So the funeral home is connected because they won't send it to him. This is the black funeral home. So they, to me, are just as much as a cover-up. Now, I'm not saying they did anything wrong, but they are controlled also by those in the air, because they know what a transport slip is. They have to have it. It's state law. Still, they send him a bill, and he didn't ask for a bill at all. The funeral was paid for.
I got it.
And
on
so,
tape.
is he still buried in Eros, Louisiana? Correct.
Right. Mm-hmm. He's still buried in Eros, Louisiana. There's still questions around. We don't even know if there was money left over that should have went to the family. We don't, you know, it's a lot of unanswered questions that we have, which we're going to dig out once we try to dig it out once we get legal counsel.
Well, who handled the funeral arrangements?
They did.
Who is they?
One of the teachers started it all, which she was suspect in my eyes. Because when I was in the bed sick, she was taken to a doctor's, and Jason had brought in a paper, and it had the names of all these body organs on it, and I told him I wasn't going to sign that paper. She got to be more specific what she taking me to the doctor's for right there. And then, like, after that was done, she acted like Jason didn't exist. And then after Jason died, here she is putting up big money for him and got everything started. And I got my insurance and then my cousins and them helped and everything like that. Only thing I really had to do was just go buy his clothes and pick out the casket. That's the only thing I had to do. Anything else, they took all that out of my hands.
It's this stuff, too much stuff. It just went too smooth. And to me, it spells nothing but cover-up.
So, Mr. Smith, I'm just asking.
I should have been the one to make them decisions. That's what I'm saying. I should have been the one to make them decisions. He was mine. He's still
right.
Mine. So I should have been the one to make all decisions on what I would want for my son.
Yes, sir. So do you plan to leave him there?
Oh, no. I'm bringing both of my sons right back to California after the autopsy thing done and everything. These boys get what they deserve, everybody that was involved in his murder, from law enforcement to whatever. I hope they get what they get. And then when they finish getting what they get, I hope God get them too. When they meet paymaker, I hope God put one on them so hard they'll never forget. They're evil. They hurt a baby, and then grown-ups is hurting these babies now. That's to stop reproduction of black people.
And, you know, one thing that's real was puzzling to me is that Mrs. Smith was house was put up for sale and told he had to move. What was it? How long? 2 days after the funeral?
Yeah, right after the funeral, about 2 days.
2 days after the funeral, he was told he had to move in his house to put up for sale. And he offered to buy the house, but he was turned down. He had to move.
And they tried to kill me.
Yeah, and so is this.
Just set up so pretty. It just, I wouldn't even believe it if I didn't live it.
And they wanted to know what route he was taking when he got ready to drive or out of Lee Town. And that question had never been asked to him before. You know, there are several routes you could take in those areas, but they're all country roads. There's no, you know, you can hit the interstate, but you got to drive, get to Ruston and get to the Interstate 20.
When are you going back to California? All these things. Never been asked.
So as if they were trying to pinpoint where you were so that they could catch you in a particular place at a particular time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, I'm going to ask if anybody, we're about 5 minutes out, and I'm going to ask if anybody has any questions now. You can press one on your keypad if you have any questions for Mr. Smith now. Mr. Smith, I'm committed to help you in any way I can. Again, I want to remind people to go to Facebook. Either go to Murder in Eros, Louisiana, or either go to the Facebook page Stop the Cover-Up of the Murder of Jason Smith. And please, you know, sign the petition. It is very much needed. We really need to be one unit on this. And I'm going to take this question from the caller, area code.
May I say something real quick?
Yes, sir, please.
On the YouTube, it's Jason Smith Murdered by the KKK.
Right.
So you get to that page, and then you'll see right under his page, you just keep going, you'll see the Ku Klux Klan threatening my life. Then you'll know, hey, this ain't no joke.
Yeah, and I read some of those comments, and it just really blew me away. And, you know, I'm not a traditional Southern girl, but, you know, I'm just like, I've never been up close and personal with it until now to just realize how real it is and how evil-hearted these people are. But I'm going to take this question from caller, area code 225. Go ahead with your question.
My question, are y'all going to outreach to the Moffitt family and the recent incident that happened 2 weeks ago in Baton Rouge, Louisiana with Devontae Dotson? And also the hangings 2 years ago?
Yeah, I hope they family connect up with me. I mean, everybody that got missing kids out there or whatever, I hope and pray that they connect with me and we can all get something done at the same time. It's time to stop hiding and start being heard.
I'm not familiar with, I think I'm familiar with the Avante Dotson.
Yeah, that happened 2 weeks ago. They said that the coach of the LSU son had a attack, was one of the attackers that attacked Devontae Dotson at the park. But there's many stories, along with it. So they had ruled it accidental that he had alcohol and he was drunk, but he was lying in blood at the park. And the mom said a teammate said contacted her, saying that her child was in the park lying in blood, in and out of consciousness. So just pretty much with, you know, what's possible, you know, her father says with Shamika. Their incident both happened at a park, I believe a Saturday or Sunday evening. I know hers was on a Sunday, but, we know it was witnesses at the park, obviously, to go tell the mama that, you know, your son is lying at the park in blood. So
right.
Most likely, have anybody found if there were any witnesses possibly with Shamika's case? Because both was at the park at night.
I'm not in that area. I have also with the our local newspaper, Elgin Newsweek, we have a associate paper that's out of the Monroe area, and they were following it a little more closer. Now, I don't know if they actually edited it or if they just took the word from the porch. Remember, the state police came in on helicopter the same day. That's unheard of here in Louisiana on something like that. That was done because too many things are happening, and they want to suppress it because it happened in a concentrated area. So just like down in Clinton, Louisiana, where the young man was sentenced to jail for something he didn't even do, supposedly did, but they didn't want to show the cameras and wouldn't expose it. Louisiana has so much corruption in these courtrooms and these police and sheriff departments that it's not even funny.